Praise God, hallelujah. Our God is good all the time. Amen. Okay, so we're going to continue our Bible study class. So we began a journey through the Bible, and we're currently in the book of Luke. We've done Luke chapter 1 to chapter 17, and we're going straight to Luke chapter 18. And my prayer this morning is as we look into God's word together, the entrance of his word will bring light and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke 18 begins with the parable of the persistent widow. All right, so we're going to say now, there's something very important I quickly want to say. So this parable is very important because, you know, it answers the question, why should we pray without ceasing? I mean, why should I keep repeating the same prayer? I keep asking God for this thing. The Bible says we should avoid vain repetitions. But then, the Bible also says we should be persistent. So there are only the only two parables where Jesus spoke about prayer, the subject of prayer, was the parable of the persistent widow. And the other parable that we looked at earlier, while we're studying the book of Luke, remember the story where the parable of the man that went to meet someone for bread for a friend. I don't know if you remember that story and that parable. Okay, so if you remember when we looked at Luke chapter 11, so we saw the parable of that particular man that said, you know, he went to meet his friend at midnight and said, give me 3 loaves. You know, for a friend of mine, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So this parable of the friend that went to meet his other friend at the midnight for his own friend. And this parable of the persistent widow, they are the only two places where Jesus Christ talks about, you know, persistence in prayer as regards using parables. So these two parables explains, you know, persistence in prayers. So in the first case, the man went to search for bread for his own friend. And he kept asking and asking and asking until he got that bread for his friend. And if you continue in Luke chapter 11 downwards, the Bible says that Jesus says, anyone who asks for the Holy Spirit like this will receive it. Okay, maybe we should just quickly do a very quick recap of Luke 11. Now, I've always said something. Let us always learn to read the Bible contextually. Don't just read your Bible, read it contextually. So, you know, the Bible talks about from verse 5, this friend went to meet, blah, blah. Then verse 9 says, ask and it shall be given, seek and it shall find, knock and it be opened. For everyone who asks receives. And then verse 11, which of you, if your son asks for fish, will give him snake? And then the one asking for egg, you will not get scorpion for it. Verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So the subject of all the asking here is asking for the Holy Spirit. So this friend was asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit so that he can use that gift of the Holy Spirit to also be a blessing to others. That was basic, because whatever this guy was asking for was first for himself. He said, and the friend of mine has come on a journey. I have no food to offer him. Did you see that? I have nothing to give to this person. And this is how we come to God. Lord, you are sending this. I need to help these people. I need to bless. For example, God has given me a ministry. Before I preach, before I do anything to end up to the members of my ministry, you know, the ministry that God has committed into my hands, I need to pray and say, Father, give me bread for these people. Because if you don't give me bread, there's nothing to feed them with. In that kind of prayer, ask, it will be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be open. Read the Bible contextually. Unfortunately, the kind of understanding we have with ask is that ask anything, just ask, like generally. But basically, what the Bible is saying here, when it comes to persistence in prayer, is when you ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit, keep asking, because that gift is not for you. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for service. God gives us this gift for the edification of the church, for the blessing of the church. So you get that bread for your friend. You get that bread for your friends, for your neighbors, for your family members. Did you see that now? So until you get that bread, you don't stop asking. You see what that guy did? The friend said, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shamelessness, audacity. I love this. Because of your shameless audacity. I'm reading New International Version. Because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Did you see that now? So I say to you, ask. Did you see that? So I say to you, that's a continuation. I say to you, ask. And then finally, he now says, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Contextually, that place is talking about the Holy Spirit. So that's that about that. That's the first persistence in prayer that Jesus taught. Now, back to Luke chapter 18. The second persistence that Jesus is talking about is about the persistent widow. So in what case are we also supposed to be persistent in prayers? Huh? There was this certain city, a judge, who did not fear God or regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because the widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she wearies me. Now, hear what the Lord is saying now. Now, this person is not the Lord. That judge is not a picture of God, because God is not a wicked person. And he said the judge does not fear God. Now, the Lord now said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect? You see, this place is looking like what the Bible says in Luke 11. When the Bible was saying that if your fathers, being evil, can give good gifts, if that friend can give that 3 loaves of bread to his friend to give to the other friend, how much more will God give to you, you know, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The same style here. He said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Did you see that now? He will avenge them what? Speedily. The same style. But in what case here? When you ask God to fight for you. When you ask God for that authority. You want God to fight for you. The enemy is cheating you. Some of you, see, when it comes to knowing the things that God has given to us, he said he has given us all things to enjoy. He has given us all things freely to enjoy. There are privileges that we have in Christ. And you need to continue to affirm and begin to cry and persist in prayers to effect all of those realities of Christ in your life. Did you see that now? Devil is cheating you too much. Sickness is not your portion. That's a cheating. Devil is cheating you. You're not supposed to be taking that. You're supposed to be persistent in prayer and say, no, this sickness cannot remain. Father, avenge my case. This sickness is not supposed to be there. Did you see that now? That is exactly what we are talking about here. You need to fight for it. It is your right. Did you see what the Bible called this man? A judge who does not fear God. And the woman came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Give me justice. This is my right. Do you know the right and privileges that you have in Christ Jesus? And you're not getting those rights. You're not getting those privileges. It is high time you began to fight for those things that are already, they are yours already. You're not supposed to be crying and begging for it. Health. God, you see, there are blessings that God has blessed us with, especially the blessings of the New Testament. Do you know what the Bible says? It says, sin shall not have dominion over you, because you walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. These are mighty, mighty promises. Jude chapter 1 verse 24. He said, now unto him that is able to keep us from falling. These are your rights in heaven. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. There is no condemnation. You cannot be condemned. And the Bible says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You need to find all of these things and pray them persistently. Consistently pray all of these things, because these are your rights and privileges in Christ Jesus. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Then the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Please permit me to read this thing. I hope I still have time. This is one of my best parables in the Bible. You see, this parable, verse 9, and he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So two men went up to pray, and one was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. The guy was praying with himself. He wasn't praying to God. He said, Father, God. He couldn't even say God, Father anyway. I mean, because Pharisees then, they didn't have that relationship with God as a father. So he said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. The extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers, or even this tax collector. You know, some of you pray like that. You feel righteous. You feel that you are not like that brother that committed sin last week. And you don't know that that same brother that you are judging has gone to meet God in his private place and cried and cried, and God has forgiven and forgotten that incident. But you are there still feeling righteous, whereas that guy is far ahead of you. You see, he said, I am not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. Stop reminding God the things that you have done. In my language, you will say, will you help? Stop reminding God. God, do you remember the tithes that I paid last month? Don't forget this. Don't forget that. No, I mean, learn from this. I fast twice a week. Oh, I just mentioned tithes. He said it. I give tithe of all that I possess. My business can never go down. Because why? Despite the fact that I gave you tithe, you still allow my business. You're not doing business. See, that idea of you doing transaction with God, you better kill that idea. God is not MMM. God is not Naira bet. You put 15 Naira in church on Sunday and you expect that 15 Naira will become 5,000 Naira that week. Oh God. May God help us in the name of Jesus. When you give to God, you give cheerfully. You give willingly. You give with joy. And when you're giving to the Lord, remember that you're also helping. You're actually helping yourself. You think God needs your 15 Naira? God is teaching you how to be disciplined. He's teaching you to learn to trust him despite the fact that you are giving him your salary, the money that you earn, add-end money. God is not interested in your 15 Naira. So stop all these transactions that you are doing with God. You give God 100 Naira. You say, God, as I'm giving you this 100 Naira, don't forget to use it to give you 1,000 Naira. May God help us in the name of Jesus. You know, and then there is this tax collector standing afar. He would not so much even raise his eyes to heaven. But he beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me. Hey, you know, I mentioned this thing yesterday during the podcast, the prayer of mercy. The Bible says that that man will go home justified than the other person. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. And just like what we said yesterday, Jesus blessed the little children. And we said the counsel to the rich young ruler. This guy came, he said, I've done everything. What else do I need to do? Then Jesus told him, very, very massive statement. Jesus said, go and sell everything you have. Give it to the poor and come and follow me. That statement does not look like what I hear in most churches today. Imagine a rich man come to my ministry, tells me that, okay, as in I'm not talking about, this man is so rich. Bible says he had a lot that he went back sorrowfully. He couldn't follow Jesus because he had so much possession. And then that man comes to meet me and tells me what does he need to do to be saved? And I tell him to go and sell everything he has today. I would rather tell him to bring the money to the church. Bring the money to me. Use it to support my ministry. Follow me. But Jesus was not interested in his money. He said, go and sell everything you have. Don't bring the money to me. I don't need your money. I don't need your offering. Take everything. Go and give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. Then the man went sorrowfully. Then Jesus began to talk about how that it will be difficult for rich men to go to heaven. This place is not saying that when you are rich, you are going to hell. What he's saying is that don't allow the riches, the things that you have, the so much that you have, don't allow it to be the hindrance to you going to heaven. You know, don't be so engrossed in the things, your wealth. It might not necessarily be money. Some of you, that intelligence that you have has really entered your head. That little thing that God has put into your hands. The funny thing is that thing that you have, it is not even yours. God gave it to you. But then you are using that same thing to oppress people. Whereas God expects that thing is supposed to be released. Give it out to the poor. Release it. Use it to help people. Just give it out. By so doing, then you can follow Jesus. You don't come to Jesus with your own intelligence. You don't come to Jesus with your own money and say, I have money. That's why I want to follow Jesus. Or you come to church and you feel like it is your money that they are using to buy the generator in the church. No. Every single time before you, every time you appear before God, appear with utmost humility. For if any man comes to him exalted, he will abase the man. But if you come to God humble, then he will exalt you. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. And then we see Bartimaeus again towards the end. You know, this guy also received his sight. The same prayer. He prayed to God. He said, have mercy on me. And Jesus asked him, what exactly do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to receive my sight. May the Lord open our eyes in the name of Jesus. And immediately this guy received the sight. Verse 43, he followed him, glorifying God. So, whatever it is you're asking God for, I just hope that by the time you receive that thing, you will not run away from God. That thing you're asking God for, as soon as you receive it, follow Jesus. Don't let that thing be what will kill you or be what will push you away from God. May God strengthen and help us in Jesus' name. Thank you very much for joining today's podcast. I've really gone past my time. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.